team is coming or not. I guess it is. We got him. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Good. All right, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order, please. We want to thank everybody for coming out, keeping the room warm for us tonight with this crowd, so that's a good thing. First thing we do is go ahead and certify a quorum. And then y'all join us for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day and everything that you've done for us, and we're especially thankful at this time of year for your Son who you gave to us so that we can have everlasting life. We just believe in him and be faithful. Be with everyone here tonight. Help us all to be wise and make good decisions. And the people that have attended, we hope that we can use our knowledge and your guidance as we make decisions tonight. Help us do the right thing in everything that we do. Bring praise and glory to your name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pledge allegiance
to the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There he is. All right, at this time, we're going to do my favorite thing. We have got another state championship for these kids. We say this a lot. We say it over and over and over, and I don't get tired of it. Thank you, parents. I mean, everybody that has a kid that's in recreation knows what this takes for the kids, for the parents, for the coaches, the grandparents, everybody that supports these kids. It is enormous, and the difference you make for these kids, we appreciate it. The town appreciates it. I mean, it just makes a better community all the way around. So thank you all for what y'all do. And congratulations, ladies, once again. How many of y'all are second time? I mean, get the hands up, throw on your volleyball. There you go. Five? Six? All right, we're going to read this, and I'm going to hand these out to each one of you. This is a proclamation honoring the first minister, 12U Volleyball 2025 SCAP State Champion. Whereas the City of Westminster Recreation 12U Volleyball Girls have been crowned state champions by the South Carolina Recreation and Parks Association, and whereas the City of Westminster is extremely proud to be the home of the Westminster Recreation Department, and whereas the Westminster Recreation Department promotes physical health and personal development through team sports such as volleyball, and whereas the Westminster 12U volleyball team defeated Johnsonville to win the state tournament and the title of state champions, and whereas the team is coached by coaches Jessica Hammy, Beverly Whitfield, and Lauren Fox. And now, therefore, by virtue of the authority invested in me as mayor, and on behalf of the City Council and citizens of the City of Westminster, I hereby honor and celebrate the Westminster Recreation 12U volleyball team for their accomplishments, the dedication and support of their coaches and parents, and the appreciation of the hard work of all the players, coaches, and staff during the 2025 volleyball playing season, in which is whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused a seal of the City of Westminster to be fixed. Congratulations. I'm going to call your name, ladies. Y'all come right up here and stand for a few minutes. Reagan loves taking pictures. Ayla Abbott. Lucy Fox. Lily Gibson. Madeline Hamby. Scarlett Jones. Melissa Martin, Raylan McCracken, Adeline Rowland, Alyssa Scott, Gina Smith, Leah Smith, Kleber Lake. Caroline Thomas. Coaches, Miss Jessica Handy. Beverly Whitley. And Lauren Pott. Thank you, ladies. Hold on, let me get you one of these to somebody in the middle can hold this up.
Stand up. There you go. All right.
Behind the short lady. Thank you. Get everybody in here. Get some girls in, bro.
Y'all good back there? Awesome. I got everybody.
You think? Why is Lou?
All right. Look right here, smile. So maybe one more this way.
Yeah.
One more. Awesome. Thank you guys. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you all for supporting us.
We love you.
Thank y'all for supporting us.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
We got a good family. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. Yeah, we have a 3-minute time limit, and we got a timer right there. Y'all can watch it.
I'm going to go ahead and set my own right now, too, so I can watch it. All right, so I just wanted to make a couple brief comments.
Will you get to the podium, please?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Would you like me to address this, or how do you want me to address it?
Yeah. Okay,
perfect. So just want to address you all. I came to the Planning Commission meeting on November 17th. And several questions that were unanswered at the time. I just want to go through those right now with y'all. So the R25 versus R20, okay? So that's a difference of 28 homes versus 20 homes. That's a 40% increase. Just want you guys to be mindful of that when you think about that, right, tonight. So that's a sizable impact in my estimation on infrastructure that's already overtaxed. I know we're addressing certain things in infrastructure already. But that's something that I think that needs to be thought through for this. So the next point is, at that hearing, Mr. Smith stated that, quote, he could move dirt tomorrow. That's kind of an inflammatory comment. There were several of those made that night. I'll get to addressing those as well. But it's my understanding that DES needs to do a permitting on all subdivisions in South Carolina. That's at least what I have understood in speaking with DES, that they need to permit that. But he said that he could move dirt tomorrow. So in building, and he mentioned at the end of his time that he could start to, he wouldn't put a whole subdivision in right away, he would just put in homes one at a time. So my question really is, if you build homes one at a time, right, or two or three, does that skirt or avoid the DES requirement for subdivision permitting? Another question, and again, I believe in looking around our area, our city, Seneca, other areas, we're fill-in, using that word, that fill-in, which was in the agenda, filling in is just really what it is. I apologize for my voice. I'm struggling with that today. In most cases, that land is undesirable, undevelopable, and it was not developed years ago for very specific reasons. And now we're filling in areas of the city that completely transform the way that our city looks, the way that it's our neighborhoods are shaped. And I don't know, myself and 22 other people, 22 other neighbors came to that meeting that night, right? I just ask you guys to consider, why would 22 people, and I've never heard, at least you guys could maybe refute that, of 22 people coming to a planning commission meeting to talk about that, think about why would 22 people show up? And we were treated very rudely that night. The police were called, police came in, there were two police officers that showed up outside. My neighbor, who was late to the meeting, didn't come in because there were officers on the street. We're expressing our points of view. That's what this forum is for. So to be treated and kind of cut off at the knees and be interrupted when we're asking questions, that's the end of my time. It was just a pretty rude meeting that night, and other people that were here would attest to that as well.
Thank you, Bruce.
We have Judy Kaywood.
Miss Kaywood.
Can I turn my back on you? Well, I got names talking to them. I thought there was more back there. Okay. My name is Judy Kaywood, and I'm the volunteer director for the Westminster Senior Center. How many of you know we have a Westminster Senior Center? Thank you. Most people ask us, where is it? Where is it located? Well, you know, if they don't know where we're located, we haven't done a very good job of getting our message out to them. So we're working on that. And we plan to have that taken care of. More people have found out about us in the last 2 to 3 months. We've just doubled the amount of people and programs we have coming into the Senior Center. It's probably one of the most beautiful buildings in Westminster. I know we're in competition with Keith Denny for his buildings. They are beautiful. But anyway, we think ours is just as pretty, okay? We've had so many good things happen during Christmas to our center. We've had people donating. We've had tons of food given from Upstate Fiber, the ones who did all of our pipeline and everything for our Wi-Fi at the center. We've just had a lot of people supporting us and helping us. And one of the things I wanted to mention tonight that I've been so impressed with has been our police department and our fire department. I don't think probably all of you realize just what a professional fire department and police department we have here. We've worked with several police departments in the last few weeks, and I can tell you our stands way above anybody else. They've helped us so much. They've delivered food, they've loaded food. We could not have done without them. And we've dealt with some other police departments who we appreciate, but ours always showed up on time, just looking the best ever. We're just so proud of our police department. So thank you, Officer. Our chief is here tonight, and he's wonderful. He supports our seniors. He and all of his units are just a total professional. Mike Smith, our chief of fire, came over, and we cooked chili and cornbread for his guys. They came over and talked to our seniors about safety, carbon monoxide poison detectors, and they had just got sent down and got their bowls filled, and they got a call. And if you ever wondered if they moved fast enough, you should have been there that day. They about took our building with them. They got out so fast. But they got to the fire, and we were... Even though we were real happy that they got it put out and everything, we wish they could have stayed and we plan to have them back. But I want you to know that our center is growing so fast, and we are handling so many people from Wahala, West Union, all around the state. It's not just Westminster. In fact, sometimes I'm embarrassed because we have more people from out of town than we have from Westminster. So if you haven't been by to see our building, make sure you come by and see it. It's such a plus for Westminster. We're very, very proud of it. The other thing I'd like to mention to you is we are having a blood drive. We're selling our blood. We want your blood, okay? We have a fire, a blood mobile coming the 16th of January, and you'll be seeing signs all over town. We haven't put any up yet because Christmas is here, and Bloodmobile signs are red. We figured everybody would walk by and look at them and say, oh, another church bazaar or something. So we're waiting to put ours up till after the holidays. It's the 16th of January, and the reason I mention it to you all, we are taking sign-ups beginning as quickly as possible because we hate to make money off selling blood, but we will, okay? We get $10 for each unit that that donates. So everybody be sure to sign up and give blood, okay? And we will remind everybody signs are going to be all over the place. So make sure that you sign up and help us with this. It'll be a big money maker for us, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kayla.
We have Alan Stone.
Who?
Alan Stone.
Alan Stone.
Yes, my name is Mr. Stone, and I'm here to address this guy, the new zoning between Holcomb and Anderson. My question is, does this bring about new codes with these new homes that's being put there? And does these new codes affect the houses around the upgrades? Will this affect the community and Westminster as it overflows with new coding that may come up with this new zoning? Say, for instance, you have to upgrade your roof. Do you have to upgrade? Will these new codes, will there be codes that come along with it? Upgrade your roof, your air conditioner, your wiring. And will this affect the surrounding communities and that community and Westminster in a whole? You know what I'm saying? With these new codes, does that come about with new codes, with this new house? A way, because a lot of people over there, their houses are not built before 2000. And will this affect the seniors, people that's retired, people that's, you know, affecting their retirement, their livelihood? Is this a possibility? Does that come along with these new housing and then new, excuse me, I'm stroking. Does that come along with that? That's my concern. That question wasn't brought up in the last meeting. And that's my concern.
Okay, thanks, sir.
We got Ruby Seal.
Ruby Seal.
I was wanting to speak concerning the rezoning too. I've been here 39 years. I call it my home. I got concerns with the infrastructure around the schools. The commercial infrastructure, we don't have restaurants, stuff like that, to support the people that's here now. And they want them to potentially 28 homes there, and then he's got the 30-something acres across the street from our house that if they rezone it, then that could be 50-something, 60-plus houses across the street also in one little area. Most of us moved here for the small town feel, you know, a little bit of privacy, raise our families. Schools are full now. Are we going to get added on schools? They're going to add more schools. The roads, the water, the electric, the stuff that I know they're working on a lot of it now, but we don't have infrastructure for it. The roads are in the state, the county, are horrible. Our tax money goes who knows where. I concern for my kids, my grandkids to be. I'd like for them to have a decent place to live. Me and my wife's considering selling and moving away because of the changes coming. You know, we bought a house here to live in this setting. And are we going to be like Seneca, where they're throwing up hundreds and hundreds of homes? I'm in construction business myself, and and I deliver concrete to all these places. It is ridiculous, you know, just because you can do something don't necessarily mean you need to do it. There's, you know, okay for expansion and growth, but there should be a limit to it. There should be a time frame where it ain't just all dumped. There was questions asked concerning the houses. You know, what's that going to do our property values? You know, if he comes in there and builds $150,000 houses around $300,000-$400,000 houses, it's just going to pull down the property value for everybody else around it. You know, there's a lot of those older folks, I call it, that live in the neighborhood that's going to, you know, be there for a while. But if we need to sell and move, downsize, whatever, you know, we put our money in, we support the community, you know, been here years and years. What about our return on investment ourselves? You know, for stuff that we've contributed to. You know, Westminster, like I said, I've been here almost 40 years, it's hardly grown any because people's fought it. And that's why people move here, is to not grow, not be, you know, if anybody want to live in the city, go to Seneca, go to Anderson, go to Greenville.
Mr. Steele, your time's up.
Okay,
thank you. Thanks, sir.
That was it.
All right, well, now it's time for comments from the mayor and council. I'll go ahead and address this because I've talked to Mr. Wimbaugh, talked to Mr. Smith, been involved with all this going on. But the first thing we need to just make everyone aware of is the city cannot stop somebody from developing their private property. They can't do it. I mean, that would bring on a lawsuit. That property belongs to the man, and he has a choice of what he wants to do with it. Now, what he's asking to rezone, we've got pretty strict zoning codes. The way the Planning Commission works and the way the council works is we've got to have a reason not to let somebody do something. And when all that property around him is already at R20, it's hard for us to tell him no. It would be extremely hard. So addressing one of your comments about we don't have the infrastructure as far as restaurants and businesses for that, they don't come and then people move to it. The people move here first, then the restaurants will come. I mean, that's just the way it works. They all look for a bigger population. The challenge of the growth, we're all going to deal with that. That's just coming. It's just going to happen. It's all over the state right now. It's in every town. We're kind of the last one to see it. Wahala's been seeing it, you know, a long time before we were. The infrastructure, as far as sewer and water, we can handle that. We've already had our teams look at it and make sure. There's some issues they found with the sewer, I think, today. Wasn't it, Scott?
Yes.
They addressed it. You know, they're going to take care of all that. So we're looking at this. It's not like nobody's looking. Everybody's paying attention. Everybody's trying to address all your concerns. But it's just the time that the city's going to grow. I mean, it's coming. What we do is try to direct it in certain areas, the density, and that's all we can do is try, because people that own property, they're going to do what they want to do. Mr. Stone, your concern about bringing in more codes, it doesn't bring in more codes. The International Residential Building Code is straight across the state. It don't change because more homes move in. So you don't have to worry about that changing the houses around you. And some of the concerns you've got with DES, I'm not sure about that. You know, it's a subdivision. Don't really know exactly how that's going to be addressed. But the developer has to do that. He's got all these rules to follow. And as far as being treated rudely at the Planning Commission, I apologize for that. Don't know how it happened. I was made aware that there were some people speaking out of turn during the meeting. And with, especially when you have a meeting with that many people show up, you have to call it down. We I don't know who was there that called it down, but when you have 20 or 30 people in a meeting, if one gets up and goes, you know, talking out of turn, and there's going to be two or three more, and it just goes on. So I apologize if you felt like y'all were treated rudely, but that's something we have to do in all of our meetings, including our council meetings. So I hope that addresses your concerns. There's not much we can do about this. We'll vote on it, but the Planning Commission recommended moving forward. It is R20 all the way around that property, so just that's our view on that. I agree. I love a small town. We all love a small town. And we've held it as long as we could, but it's just the growth coming all across the state right now. Anyone else?
I will say that hearing you guys speak out, I mean, nobody wants to go against that. Everybody wants to make everybody happy, but it's a double-edged sword. If we vote your way, then you got the rest of the city that wants growth. I mean, the restaurants, the hotels, everybody needs a little bit of growth. If you don't, the city dies. You said nobody's been moving here. Well, there's nothing to draw on here. More people, you have more restaurants, you draw more people, you have more revenue, then we're able to do something with the taxes. Everybody complains about taxes. Well, the reason, we don't have enough people living here to pay the taxes, so it's never ending. And thankfully, we live in a country where you're free to do what you want to do on your own property. So I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I agree with exactly what Brian said. That's that man's property. He's going to build where we have it zoned R20, R25, it don't matter. And I get what you said about being 40% more, but at the same time, if everybody else is 20, if we're trying to be fair, how can we not do the same for him?
I understand what you guys are saying, but I'm just making a real quick.
No, Bruce, you right. We can't do that.
Right, that's fine.
Yeah, the meeting don't allow for that. I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, well, I happened to be at the meeting.
Okay.
I was there. And I appreciate the city staff and our planning commission because they listened well. They listened well. And there were a lot of people upset. But even that, like with time, they give them a little extra time here and there, and they were really trying to accommodate as best as possible. It was tense. But it was very open for anybody who wanted to speak to sign up and say what you need to say. And I know these meetings can be frustrating where we can't do the back and forth and be able to talk like that. That's just the process, right? But we were glad that y'all came and that we were able to listen and try to make these decisions the best way we can.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? One other thing I will say about that, especially the fact that y'all took the time to come and that many people came, we do pay attention to that. When we start doing planning for the city, future planning, land development, we look at that. We pay attention to that. When we hear this from the city, then when we start looking at, future planning, those are things we do take into consideration. So it does matter, and the council does hear it, and the administration hears it. I can guarantee you they will bring this up. When we start doing any future planning, you remember what happened here. We don't have the rules in place to stop certain things, but we can in the future try to direct it more with what the city residents want us to have here. But I do appreciate everybody coming out. And then I know she's not here, but I want to thank Miss Ruth May for serving on city council. I hate she wasn't able to make it tonight, but it means a lot that she stepped up when she was needed. All right, anyone else?
I just had one thank you that I wanted to make sure I gave. With the tree planting, Arbor Day, thank y'all so much. And thank y'all so much. It was just a joyful time, I thought. Snyder Electric there, and it was just so, the mayor was out there planting that tree, and it was a great day. And I just love it when we work together and we come up with a wonderful product like that. So thank y'all.
Real quick before you move on, just so you know, I moved here for the small town feel too. I mean, I absolutely love Westminster. I think we all did. Just wanted to put that out there. And then, Chiefs, I want to say too, I was going to talk to you personally. I've been told twice, without asking, that the police presence in town has been awesome. They said, I don't think I ever drive through town without seeing an officer in town. It's like, I don't think you can go to any other city. And they just kept making that point. And then 2 weeks later, I got nearly the same exact thing brought to me. And I'm like, I see you too. I make sure I'm watching that. tell your officers good job and good job to you too. Just let them know that they're appreciating, people are noticing, and they are watching.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
City prayer this morning, Betty Johnson bragged on you and your officers and how y'all responded to a little problem she had over there. And that's coming from both you and fire chief there. So, good job, guys. Real good job. And Scott, thank you for taking care of that. Appreciate it.
Good. All right, next, move on to special presentation. This will be the financial statements for the year end 2025. Mr. Will Walls.
Yes, sir.
You're back.
I'm back. I'm glad to be here with y'all tonight. Again, like you said, my name is Will Walls, and I'm the audit practice leader at Love Bailey & Associates. And before we start going over the folder, I wanted to disclose that this is just a draft of financial statements. We haven't issued yet, and it's because each year, y'all had a single audit last year and this year because y'all received federal funding. And in order for us to complete the single audit, we have to have the current compliance supplement. And this year, for some reason or another, it usually comes out in April or May, but this year it came out, like, I think it came out 5 or 6 days ago. So we're still trying to work on a single audit to finalize that, but we don't anticipate many things at all changing with this draft that I'm presenting tonight. So I believe each of y'all have a handout. This is, I've changed things up a little bit, but I've still included the three-year comparison because I know y'all really enjoyed that last year. Kevin attested to that. But just overall, y'all received an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, and that's the best opinion that the city can receive. It basically means that the financial statements are materially correct in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. And as you can see, the schedule down below at the very bottom is kind of the easiest thing to follow. But your general fund revenues increased steadily over the past 3 years, and it's at $3.9 million at 6/30/2025. Your total general fund expenditures increased around $477,000 to $3.3 million. And your other financing sources or uses, that's basically your transfers in, transfers out, any kind of non-operating income. It did decrease this year, but it was because last year y'all had a lot of transfers coming into the general fund, and this year y'all had a lot of transfers going out of the general fund. You'll see that a little later on when we look at the proprietary fund. But overall, your change in fund balance was a minus $1.9 million, and like I said, most of that was due to the transfer. Y'all actually had around $1.1 million more in operating income this year than you did last year in the general fund, so that's a good sign. This next page, it goes over the proprietary fund, which is your utility and solid waste. So your proprietary fund revenues, they did decrease from $8.7 million to $8.1 million. And we'll go over a little more detail of that in a little bit. But your total proprietary fund expenses increased around $65,000 or 1%, so not a big change there. And again, you'll see in that non-operating section, that's where those transfers came in from the general fund. So that's why it changed so much from the previous year, around a $1.9 million increase. So your total change in net position for the proprietary fund was $2.9 million for the year. Some key highlights and results of the balance sheet of the government as a whole, which this includes your capital assets and your debt. Total assets increased from $33.9 million to $45.4 million in 2025. Your net position increased around $4.4 million. Your unrestricted cash on hand, we'll look at this on the next page, but it decreased from $2.4 million to $1.5 million. And there's a bar graph on the following page that kind of gives you a better depiction of what your cash has looked like over a three-year trend. And you can see your unrestricted cash, it was around $3 million, a little more than $3 million in 2023. And that's dropped down to about $1.5 million. And I know y'all been doing a lot of projects and stuff, so that's a lot of the reason for that decrease. But we calculate this thing, a cash on hand, a liquidity measure. And it measures how much cash you have on hand at year end to cover operating expenses. And it's measured in months. So you can kind of see in 2023 that was 3.4 months, and now it's 1.6 months. And the GFOA, they like to see that be around three months, and that's just to cover your property taxes. You receive an influx of revenues all at once during the year. Also, you have unexpected expenditures. Like, I know everybody in the state of South Carolina experienced Hurricane Helene last year, and y'all had to fund all the cleanup and fixing the city, anything that was going wrong, and now y'all are still waiting on those FEMA reimbursements. I'm not sure if y'all have gotten them yet, but y'all hadn't gotten a lot of them at 6/30/2025. So just the delay in reimbursements, they like to see that be around 3 months. So one thing that the city can focus on is trying to build back up that unrestricted cash to that 3-month reserve. And you can see the bottom graph, that is your restricted cash balance. And it's actually increased a ton. So it's increased from $1 million in 2023 to around $10 million in 2025. And that's a lot of restricted grants that y'all are getting for these capital improvement projects, a lot of debt proceeds from the USDA loans, and y'all put a lot of investment in your infrastructure. So y'all are trying to plan. I know y'all been talking about that, but y'all are trying to invest in that infrastructure to look forward to the growth. This next page is a line graph of your revenues over the past 3 years, and you can see it was around $2 million in general fund revenues in 2023 and now $4 million in 2025. A lot of that increase was due to $1.5 million park and recreation grant that was received in 2025, which caused a 70% increase in your revenues from 2024 to 2025. And then again, your proprietary fund revenues, it decreased from 8.7 to around 8.2 in 2025. And that was because y'all had a big, I think Sphinx and Heirloom Farms were coming in 2024 that paid some waterline extension fees that in 2024 that weren't present in 2025. So that was the main reason for the decrease in revenues for the proprietary fund this year. The following page is an expense composition. So where the government as a whole is spending a lot of their money. And 37% of it is salaries and benefits, which that is nothing unusual at all for any municipality or governmental entity. A lot going to your electric, sewer, and water, so just keeping the city up and running with your utilities. Your capital assets for the year, what we just talked about is y'all have been investing a lot in your infrastructure. So y'all had an $8.9 million increase in capital assets for the year. A majority of that was the $7.2 million to the waterline improvement project. And you can see the rest of it there, but those are the major expenditures that y'all had during the year for capital assets that caused the $8.9 million increase. This next page is an overview of your debt. The city did enter into three new bonds this year. One $900,000 hospitality limited obligation bond, a $4.8 million 2025 revenue bond, and then an $8.7 million USDA bond. And the USDA bond, it actually went to pay off a bond anticipation note that y'all had in 2024. So really, that $8.7 million went to pay off short-term debt to make it long-term debt. And the chart below there, you'll see, is a listing of all your debts that you had at 6/30/2025. The left-hand column is the balances, and then the right-hand column is the amount of principal and interest that's going to be due within a year of the date of these financial statements. So you'll have around $1.5 million of principal and interest payments due within the year of after 6/30/2025. So just to summarize everything, the summary and outlook, it just kind of goes over. Y'all received an unmodified opinion. There were no internal control findings for the 2025 audit. Y'all are majorly investing in your infrastructure, and just one thing that y'all could focus on is just trying to get that liquidity back up a little higher than it was at 6/30/2025. But y'all are doing a great job trying to create new infrastructure and better the town, the city. I did, like I said, I included the 3-year comparison schedule. The final, I think, 3 or 4 pages is that. Now, I know it's smaller. I can email it to you electronically if you want to be able to zoom in and look at that a little further, but most of that stuff that is written in the 3-year comparison schedule was gone over in the previous pages. So I'll open it up right now to any kind of questions that y'all might have.
I don't have any questions, but I really appreciate this. This helps tremendously.
Yes, sir. Do you like the 3-year comparison better, or
yes.
do you like the way the bar graphs? Like, I think the bar graphs help too.
Bar graphs help. Yep. But this does let us know how we're doing.
Yes,
it does.
And like I said, we have a draft, but we were finalizing the single audit, and I mean, it might be tough to issue before Christmas, because I know a lot of people are going to be going home probably next Friday and not coming back until the new year, but we should be able to issue at least by early January or so, I would say.
Very good. Good job, guys.
We appreciate working with Will and his team. They are very easy for us to work with. They require a lot of work on Kylie and her staff. They ask for a lot of information. I think they scrubbed us pretty good. When I look at this, I don't know if you see a lot of the similarities that we talked about when we put the budget together. One of the things that Will brought up is how we've seen our cash balance come down. That was the majority of that I attribute to Helene, and most of that has now been reimbursed.
Right.
But he's looking at it at the close of 2025.
Yes.
So right.
When he's here next year, he'll be telling you a little bit of a different story in relation to that. But I do think it's important, as you start to think about going into the next fiscal year, that we set $100,000 in this current year's budget aside to begin preparing for the PMPA pay down that we'll have in about a decade. And I think it may be appropriate to begin considering doing, holding some money back also on the general fund side to be able to meet some of these same requirements. And that's based off the discussions I've had with Will as well.
Yep.
Well, Will, we appreciate you very much.
Oh, I appreciate you.
You know you are welcome to hang around for all the fun we're going to have. There's some cookies over there if you need some.
We have cookies and coffee.
I've actually got a 2-hour drive back.
So.
You're also welcome to leave.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you all today.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? All right, we'll move on to routine business. Comments from Mr. the illustrious Scott Parrish.
Where's my timer going?
Yeah, I got you down. You got 9 minutes.
I was going to give you two.
All right, Hunter's Hit Project. Phase one is wrapping the bear. They've done the line work, they're doing cleanup and manhole work now, getting all those sealed up. Just final cleanup on that is all that's left. Phase two, I know nobody sees them, but they're the ones that are in the middle of 123 out there. So they're still making good progress. They're finding some little nuggets as they go that weren't expected, but they're making their way through, making good time on that one still.
So. Have you noticed, have they noticed anything in that replacement that was a lot of I&I or anything?
Oh, yeah, multiple spots. And I did have a comment, I don't know if he mentioned this to you, but Chris Eliezer said they noticed a big difference since we've been doing the rehab work.
Wow.
That the flows have been dropping
nice.
During these rain events. They've noticed a lot less of an increase in flow during rain events. So
good deal.
It's making a difference. We're glad to see it. Also, our SCADA upgrade, we have a pre-bid meeting Reagan has set up for us this Thursday. We've got some interested contractors. They've all got some really good ideas, so we're going to get back to them Thursday with some sites, let them see what we have, and make an informed bid proposal for us. Our Lucky and James Street projects are still in the process of waiting on the inspection permits for DOT. We originally planned to put those lines under the asphalt, but we did. It's a very narrow right-of-way that DOT has. But we did some checking. We are able to put them outside the asphalt, so hopefully that'll speed the process up. It's going to be tight, but we can't fit them in there with other utilities over there. And the other thing we had is the mayor mentioned we had an issue that was brought up to us by Mr. Wombach, and we took care of that this afternoon. Had a good conversation with him out there today. And appreciate you working with us and letting us know.
These guys were great today, by the way.
Thanks, sir.
They were quick to respond. It was like an all hands on deck, and Scott educated me on a whole bunch of different stuff. So it was good.
You got a good team. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate the heads up and thanks for working.
Scott, yeah. What's your overall assessment of that sewer line through there? And we're good if these houses get built. I mean, you looked it over.
As far as the volume, yes, there are some areas that need work.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. There's some spots that Chris and I found that we're going to need some attention. But as far as the volume of flow from the development, it's going to have a minimal impact on that.
Okay. And the issues, do you think we can get those taken care of?
We do have some other areas that we're looking at, but not on that specific section. On that main trunk that goes back to the county system that we're working on right now. We're looking at, we've got some areas, we've got some water coming in. We see that, we see some clear water coming in. Trying to identify those locations right now. That's something that Yanks and Chris have been working on the last several days. We've had rain. They've been out in the storms and watching the flows and seeing where the areas are, or where there may be more water coming in, trying to isolate that.
All right.
But as far as the development, the overall impact of that with the flow from either version is going to be a minimal impact with that.
What about water?
Water will be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be fine there.
All right, good deal.
Scott, on Lucky and James, you said we'd be able to go outside the asphalt.
Yes.
Does that mean that we don't need DOT's sign off now, or are you still fighting trying to get approval?
We will need to have the DOT because it's actually in there right away, but it's just outside the asphalt. They have 18 feet from the center line. So
is that the same one we've been talking about for months, or still just can't get anywhere with DOT?
That one has not been going on as long. The one that we have been waiting on has been over at Hall Road. That one.
But is that done now at Hall Road?
Not yet. That's still in process.
We're still waiting on DOT there? We're
waiting on that one. Yeah. Their initial concern, the engineer had, with some of the, I guess, the trees and things along the side of James Street, that was the concern. DOT was able to track down the width of the right way they've got, which is 18 from the center. So that gives us about 4 feet out of the edge of pavement.
Is that going to lower the cost?
It should, because there shouldn't be the passing pavement.
Yeah.
That actually should be a help.
Yep. Good deal. Thanks, sir. Next, we have comments from the city administrator.
Yes, sir, Mayor and Council. First, I'd like to introduce Ben Blackwell. Ben, stand up. I think a lot of y'all know Ben Blackwell. Ben is our new assistant, utility director. I don't know if that's a promotion or a downgrade, Ben. Ben is our new assistant rec director. He came on board about a month and some change ago, and he came in tearing it up. One of the things that we have talked about with Ben when he came on board, I think he was here 2 days, and we had a series of games, maybe a tournament going on out at Mephla Fields, and people didn't show up. Ben called his family, and they came in and took care of concession stands and ticket booths and everything else. And it isn't that we just hired Ben. It seems like we've hired a whole crew. So, Ben, we thank you very much for that. He has been very fastidious in watching over the Horton Fields, and I'll give you an update on that in just a minute. And I think he is a great compliment to Herb. Herb knows how to run rec. Ben knows how to run equipment, so we're working on getting him into some equipment when he's ready to get out there and do some work on his own. So, Ben, welcome. We are glad that you're part of our team, and fit like a glove right from the first day. Appreciate you very much. And you're welcome to stay and have more fun with us, eat a cookie, or you can go and move on with your evening, too. We know you got a family you need to tend to.
Good to have you, Ben.
The next thing that I'll make note of is speaking of the Horton, we are still waiting on DOT curb cut. It's a different permit than what Scott works on. There was some emails exchanged today. DOT finally sent a field inspector out, which was a big step forward. We spent about a month and a half with DOT debating with us on whether or not they issued a permit to put the sidewalk in on Hall Road. Thankfully, Troy Rozier keeps detailed records that go all the way back to Troy's inception. So we were able to produce those documents out of the Rozier group and show that DOT issued the permits for the sidewalk on Hall Road, but that took a while. My hope is now that every day we're a little bit closer. I just don't know quite yet what the reach is. But we're all ready to move on that. Also out at Horton, Ben has been very instrumental in helping us make sure that we find the best fit for what I'm going to refer to as the North Field. That is the big field closest to Hall Road. It continues to hold water in the outfield. Ben was able to work with the turf installer over the last couple of weeks to come up with a plan to help get that water out. What it comes down to is the Mammoth guys just are not used to working with South Carolina red clay. They thought they could pack it in and it would drain. They didn't know it acts like concrete under there. Ben has been very good at helping guide the decision on that, and I can't wait to see how all that comes. So if you were out there today, you saw him peeling the grass back again, and that's because Ben's out there making sure we have good drainage on that field. So I like the plan that we've got right now, and I think it's going to be what we want to have to make sure that field drains out there. Streetscape update, a lot of email activity on that again today. When you will receive the bids back in October, you issued a notice of intent to award the bid to the low contractor, to the lowest bid contractor. When we received those bids, the representative from the Appalachian Council of Governments identified that we had received grant funds under a previous cap. Community Development Block Grant was previously capped at $750,000, then went to $1 million. Appalachian Regional Commission was capped and has since gone up. So on our behalf, she applied to have those, to ask them to go to the new caps rather than the caps we were originally awarded on. So we're working as hard as we can to get this through a federal agency to do the final approval. We have until December 28th to either award or not award the contract with the bidder. I'm pushing him hard because I don't think he's going to come back and extend the current amount. He was more than $1 million cheaper than the next lowest bid.
How much of an increase would that be if they go to the new cap?
Roughly about $500,000 between the two of them. I don't have the exact.
That
was significant.
Yeah, I'm not any good without my spreadsheet from you, but I'll get you the number.
Is that intent if we don't get something by the 28th that we?
Well, I asked the question today. We can manage the budget we have with the old caps. The problem that we have right now is once we submitted the request for the new cap, we're now stuck in this purgatory, if you will, of waiting for them to approve it. And if we attempt to withdraw it, it may take as much time to withdraw the request than if we just proceed. So,
who is in charge of that? ACOG or somebody at state?
So the Appalachian Council of Governments was Arlene Young.
Right.
She retires at the end of this month, and there's a new lady, Jill, working with the Appalachian Council of Governments. They work with the Department of Commerce. Y'all probably have met Caroline Griffin along the way. Caroline also works with her counterparts that are in D.C. So we're kind of have a whole Bermuda Triangle we've got to navigate there with everybody. Everybody that we work with is great to work with. It's just getting it in front of the right people so that they review it and make a decision. The government shut down very likely stalled some of that effort early on our behalf. I just want you to know we're working hard to get all that underway to get it started as soon as we can. We sent you a notice that we received a grant for the Unity Tank installation. You approved $850,000 in the roughly $4.6 million bond that we issued earlier this year. We applied to the South Carolina Rural Infrastructure Authority for them to fund that same project, and they have now agreed to do that. That's to the tune of $600,000. Which means we'll have $600,000 hopefully to be able to move the pumps that we currently have located on Highway 76. Scott and his team, along with Troy Rozier, have got a number of ideas how to help equalize that pressure up in the Long Creek area with the new tank and by moving those pumps. we will not attempt to address the movement of those pumps until we finish installing the new tank, which could take about 18 months. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. Scott's going to talk some more about that. In your packet, you have consideration to a purchase property where the tank currently sits. We had, up until now, been using a lease from that property owner. The property owner no longer wants to lease it. He would like to sell it to us. You have an older design in your packet. We have a newer one in that we gave you. Materially, it's not any different. It just has the final acreage amount on it, which I think is less than 0.4 acres, all told. So the difference between what you have in your packet and what you were given, not a lot, but I wanted you to have the most refined copy that we have.
Not asking for the number, but has he hit us with a number yet?
So we're negotiating. I'll just say we're under $10,000.
Oh, so he's not gouging us. I just want to make sure we're...
No, he's been very good for both Scott and I to work with. Don't have any concerns about that. We have an appraisal that we had completed about a year and a half ago when we applied for this grant one time before and did not get it. So we'd already done the lion's share of the groundwork in determining the value of that land. So, and Scott's doing the negotiating. So I don't know if you know this about beekeepers, but they are hard negotiators. And Mayor, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. You may have any questions? All right, move on to item 5. That's approval of the November 18, 2025 City Council minutes. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve November 18th regular City Council minutes.
Second. Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, there are no items under old business. We'll move on to new business. Let's consider the ordinance to rezone from R25 to R20. It's ordinance 113-2026-01. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Second. Motion second. Any discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, consider ordinance 01-13-2026-02. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Kevin, on that, I think it said we had the contract in here, but we didn't have it in the package. Is that just something that was left out? Or
what we're asking you to do tonight is to approve first reading of the ordinance that allow us to go begin negotiating.
Okay.
Once we've negotiated the price and the contract, you would do all that on second reading.
Gotcha.
So if there's something that comes up that you don't like at second reading, you can send us back out to defer action at second reading. But so that Scott has at least a baseline to work with, we're asking you to do first reading in essentially name only of the ordinance.
Yep.
But it takes two readings for it to be fine.
Yeah, you got Scott's the right guy. You know, one of our most famous beekeepers live right there. Short Blackwell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he lived. He worked for the city at one time, too. Oh. Yeah. He's a good guy. Really good guy. All right. We have a motion and a second. Call for a vote.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Number 8, nominations and consideration appointments to the Westminster Planning Commission. I personally have not had anybody. I've talked with Jared Brookie. He said he's willing to stay on, but he's also willing to step down if we have somebody else who's interested. I've talked to a few. I don't have anybody that's willing to take on the Planning Commission right now. Does anybody else need to work a little more on that?
Yeah, and primarily this was on your agenda to put it on your radars. typically, once the new council is sworn in, is when you would begin making those actions. And so we'll bring it back on your January agenda. And then if we need to do some additional work after that, we can serve.
Yeah, let's just make sure we start talking to some people that might be interested, and some of you guys that come and talk tonight. I mean, we need people on the Planning Commission that care about what's going on in town. I mean, it would help.
What all are the requirements, or what do you have to meet to be on it?
Be a city resident.
And be willing to take some training, don't you?
Have to do some training.
On the Planning Commission.
Yeah, if you want to speak with us after, we'll be happy to give you some more information.
We'd love to have you on. You're in the construction business. You live here 40 years. You're the kind of people we need on it. It'll be great. All right. Next, discussion regarding the January City Council meeting calendar. Has everybody had a chance to look over the dates? Kevin, have you mentioned giving this to the two new council members? Have they seen these dates? They're good with all of them?
I have not given them this date. I did want to bring up that we do have the swearing-in ceremony set for January 5th, which is the first Monday.
5th or 6th? I thought I had it on the 6th.
What's the
5th? It's the 5th. At 4 o'clock. And I didn't realize that when we did that, the OJRSA annual meeting is that same evening. So they've now agreed to move their meeting back 1 hour. So the board meeting at the OJRSA will start at 5 o'clock at the train depot in Wahala, and then the annual meeting will be at 6 o'clock at the same location in Wahala.
Mm-hmm.
So what you don't have on here is that January 5th swearing-in ceremony, nor any other planning meetings. I was waiting until the new council assembled to start setting those dates. I did meet with Charles and Jamie and mentioned to them that we would make sure there were no conflicts with any second Tuesday dates, but typically that's what we go with, and neither of them, at least as we talked about it, had any concerns.
Okay, so they're going to swear in at 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
On the 5th?
That
would
be at
the
City Hall?
That would be at the depot. And then that'll include Dale and Jimmy as well.
And then the OJRSA annual meeting?
It starts at 5 that same evening in Wahala at their depot.
At their depot.
6 is the annual meeting. 5 is the board meeting.
5 is the board meeting. 6 is the annual.
All right, very good.
It's a night set up for fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Does anybody have anything else?
Oh, and Mayor, we also have listed down there the holiday schedule. In our personnel policy, we have stated that we will follow the state holiday schedule.
Mm.
That is what you see here with the addition of Good Friday. Good Friday is not on the state schedule, but this is... This follows what's in the personnel policy.
I'm good with that.
I have a question. Can we afford to give y'all off the second also?
Well,
The first.
If I say no, I'm going to get paid by the employees.
Well, I just think that the first is a Thursday.
Yes.
And usually, if you get a Thursday off, in states, if you usually get a Friday too, you know, sometimes so.
Well, that would certainly be a council decision. I believe all the city employees would greatly appreciate it. We do have times where January 1st as well as 4th of July and there's some other holiday will fall at an odd spot in the week.
And I also think cold weather hits and most likely very... And there, y'all gonna be working some long hours. Hard to say that, but
according
you probably
to the
will.
Simmons, we're due some snow this year.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. That's just should I make that in form of a motion or?
If you would like to add it, yes.
Okay. Well, I would like to make the motion that we consider giving the city employees also January 2nd off as a holiday.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a second now, Kevin. Will it cause any issues, you think? Y'all good with it? I know what Scott Parrish is going to say.
Well, Mayor, the biggest challenge that we have whenever we have holidays is trash pickup. Most of our trash is picked up Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So the guys were already planning very likely to work overtime on January the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only thing, Scott, unless you can think of anything just from an operational perspective.
Yeah, that would be a little bit away from it.
And I'm sorry, I didn't ask anybody. I just thought about it. So I know our city's very busy, you know, and I know you probably have a call-in skeletal crew or whatever, you know, but I think it would be a good thing to do for our employees.
And I could tell you, excuse me, you got me all choked up here. They would greatly appreciate it.
We'll get a motion in a second.
Mm-hmm. Any more discussion? Call for a vote.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Baby. Yes.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Laughing from the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
So now we need a motion of them to work on Thanksgiving Day to make up for January 1st. Before we adjourn, I just want to let all y'all know, everybody that's here, thank you so much for all you've done this year. Fred, I can just go back over and over what they were saying earlier. I had one hit me up yesterday getting a tire plug. Out of the blue, come walking up to me, and I'm not going to tell you what he was saying because you got to get out the door. But really bragged on you. The firemen, same thing. Ben, hadn't heard anything but good stuff about you. Scott, same way. And even our reporter. Bless you.
Yes,
thank you so much. And for the staff, hope y'all have a Merry Christmas. You've done a great job this year. Keith, hope you get well. We'll be praying for that. Had a hot Christmas, didn't you?
Yeah,
well, thanks,
Keith. Oh,
ouch. All right. At this time, we'll move to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We had a motion second, me and Dave.
Okay.
You got it.
We
all aye?
Yeah.
All good. Aye. Thank you. Don't leave yet. My wife sent gifts for the king.
Oh, my goodness.
She said to bring her basket back, so. You got to pick one.
Yeah, pick one.
One?
Yeah, council member, pick one.
Oh, I will. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, if you'll pick your gift.
And let's see, the October minutes are in here. And this
Keith.
Is,
Keith.
This is where I revised what you would ask if
okay.
You wanted to look at it before you sign them.
I trust you. That's good. Sharon wanted you to, y'all to pick you something out of a little gift basket she sent tonight. No, I just wanted to make sure you got something because you usually head out the door pretty quick. I
appreciate it. Thank you.
What'd you do?
Hope you have a Merry Christmas, bud.
Well, set up a burn pile on the farm and was very careless and exploded back.
I hope that was touched.
Yeah, it was face, yeah, my hand, okay. It was face healed, healed up, and I got so they took the skin off the face and healed it up. And, yeah, I was just stupid. Yeah, you get careless.
I've done it.
What's that?